Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this July 5th. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July, 250 years as a nation celebrating that. Yesterday we had a wonderful barbecue there at the community center in Waverly. And so many people coming, and it is always great to do that, to connect with our neighbors, to give out a free lunch, but also just to mingle and to celebrate too. And so hopefully you had a wonderful and safe holiday here. A couple announcements as we begin today. The first one is that next Sunday after church, we're having our baptism service, and everyone is invited. Right after service, we're going to drive down just 2 miles away from the church to the Warner's place there and the little lake they got out in the back of their property there. And we will have a picnic there, and we will have our baptism service. 12 different people from our church are going to be baptized. It's exciting. They'll share a little bit of their faith, be baptized, and then, you know, kids and anyone can play in the lake or fish. There's great fish in there, from what I hear. You can bring your fishing pole, bring some lawn chairs if you want, but we'll also have chairs and tables there outside on the lawn, and then bring a side dish to share. But we'll supply all the meat and main dishes and drinks and everything like that. So it's kind of a potluck style picnic, you could say, as well with that. So come on out. It's a great time. And then the other thing I want to mention is that in 2 weeks, we're going to be having a garage sale at the Cove, with all the proceeds going towards the Cove renovation that we've had. And so we're asking if there's anything you guys want to donate to that garage sale, to drop it off over at the Cove. We've got a section there where we're going to have it all, and we'll put it out. Now, when you donate it, though, you won't get it back. So if it doesn't sell, we're going to donate the rest to Goodwill or something. And so just know that. But if you could help us out by pricing the items that you bring, so that we have a good estimate of what they should be, that would help us. But this is during the Waverly garage sales all over the city of Waverly. There'll be garage sales going on that Friday and Saturday. I believe it's the 16th and 17th or something like that. And so get them to us before that, and we'll put them out there in our sale. We're going to continue on now in our sermon series here on the fruit of the Spirit. But to begin, we're going to talk about goodness today. And so to begin, if you know the first verse and the chorus of Goodness of God, a song that we love to sing here during worship time, would you sing this along with me, Randy, right there, wherever you're watching this, in your car or at the house there. But if you know the first verse and the chorus of Goodness of God, just sing it with me, because this will set the stage for the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, that we want to look at today. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Do you believe that, those words? What we sing, is it really coming from our heart? That God is a good, good God, and he's poured so much goodness out into our life. For 6 weeks, you know, we've been looking here at the fruit of the Spirit and the things that the Lord is and what he wants to do and change in us, the fruit he wants to grow and shape in our life to make us more like Christ. And as we abide in him every day and spend time with the Lord in his word and prayer and worship and service and by his Spirit, he bears good fruit in us. We begin to change. Sometimes it's a slow and gradual change. Sometimes things happen in our life and he moves and we become different, or we move to do something different that we know only God can do miraculously in us. The fruit of the Spirit, it is listed in Galatians 5:22, where it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it is joy, and it is peace, and it is patience, and it is kindness, and it is goodness, and it is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This morning, I want to look at that number 6, goodness, the goodness of God. He who has been so good to us now wants to do good through us, wants to turn us, calling us to do good. The word good in the Bible, very important, is the Hebrew word tov. And it literally means something that is pure, something that is pleasing, something that is generous, something that is just, something that is as it was created to be. So I think about, you know, when you use the word good in your life, you know, if I were to say Nebraska has a good team this year, you might take that to mean, well, we have a winning team. All the different parts and positions are coming together. They're working together well, and they're winning. If I were to say that's a good car, you would think, well, it runs and is smooth as it's designed to, gets you to where you need to go. It's a good car. If I were to tell you I had a good trip and explain why, well, it would be because I was able to do what I hoped to do. That there were times of rest and fun. I was able to see the ocean, have a successful meeting. It was a good trip. You know, if something is good in your life, it's usually a blessing. It's well. Good is good, right? Well, the first time we see the word good or tov in the Bible is right away in the first chapter in Genesis 1. When God is creating the world in Genesis 1:1-3, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless, empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Tov, first time it's used in the Bible, verse 3. Out of nothing, God created something. And not just anything or part way or whatever, but something good. Out of the formless, empty darkness, God created order and beauty and light and purpose. He made amazing creation. And after each day of creating, in Genesis 1, it repeats the same phrase. After each day, it says, and God saw it was good. After every day and everything that God made, the same phrase is repeated, and God saw that it was good. Up until the final verse of Genesis 1, where after God created mankind, it says in verse 31, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. What God does is always good. His work is glorious and perfect. His work is good, including you, whom he made. All good things come from God. He is a good, good God who makes good, good things. God was bringing order out of chaos. He was bringing light out of darkness. He was bringing form to what was formless, filling a world that was empty with good and beautiful things for us to enjoy. Mountains and oceans and valleys and fruit-bearing plants to live on, animals and birds and air that we breathe and a day to live and male and female, good, good God made a good, good world. What struck me this week was also thinking about how sin and evil and death entered the world. We read that in the second chapter of Genesis, and it connects. In Genesis 2:8, it says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And just a few verses later, in verse 16, God says to Adam, "You're free to eat from any tree in this garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die." Now, we've all maybe asked the question, "Well, God, why did you make that tree?" But we have to look deeper than the physical tree to what is really being said here. The name of the tree they were not to eat from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The sin was that man, the created being, would put himself in a position of God when he's not God and determine for himself what is good and what is evil. And because we're not God, by eating of that tree, we cease to be good, who we were created to be. And like Satan, instead of living our purpose, we want to be God ourselves. That was the sin, to determine for ourselves what is good. This is what the tree represented. And that is why the snake, the serpent, the devil comes to Eve and slowly pulls her heart away from God and God's purpose for her life, which was good. And Satan begins to focus her attention on that one tree that God said they cannot eat from. And Satan deceives her into thinking harm won't come to her if she takes just a small bite. Just one little bite. He convinces her good will actually come to her if she eats of it. It says in Genesis 3:6, "When Eve saw that the tree was good and pleasing to her eye and beneficial for gaining wisdom, she took some, ate it, and gave it to her husband." What is Eve doing? The same thing we do every day. Instead of living into our designed purpose and living a life that is pleasing and obedient to our God who made us, we deceive ourselves. We decide for ourselves what is good and what is evil. And since we are not God, we are terrible at it. What we call good is often evil, and what we think will benefit will only destroy. What we say will be good for our country or good for our family or good for me and I need this isn't always good, according to God. If you remember the story of the rich young ruler who came up to Jesus and asked him what he needed to do to be saved. And the rich young ruler says, "Good teacher, what must I do?" And I don't know if you remember what Jesus said back to him. First thing that Jesus said back to the rich young ruler in Mark 10:18 was, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good but God alone." What Jesus is saying to that rich young ruler is huge. He is saying that what is good for you, only God knows. For goodness in man has been gone since the day we turned away from God in the garden and started doing things our own way with our own thoughts instead of God's way. Our hearts and minds have become corrupt and full of selfish thoughts and sin and greed in this world. And we do what seems pleasing to us, what will benefit us, but not what is truly good. The only way we can know what is truly good is to come back to God, to surrender our life and everything to him. A good teacher is only a good teacher if he or she is teaching you God's word. In Jesus' day, just like in our day, there are many people telling you and me what is good and what we should do and how we should live. And many times we follow their words or we follow our own understanding like Eve did. "Well, this seems right to me," only to find brokenness and pain. There is only one who is good. Jesus was saying something to that rich young ruler, very profound. You see, I think he was asking that rich young ruler, "Why do you call me good? Can you truly see who I am? That I am different from all the other rabbis? That I came straight from the Father, full of grace and truth? That I am the Son? and speak to you the very words of God. If so, then what I'm about to tell you, trust me, because I know what is good for you. For then he tells the rich young ruler, give away all your stuff and come and follow me, and you will have abundant, saving, eternal life. Well, the rich young ruler couldn't do it. He didn't really believe. He walked away sad because he had great wealth. He didn't trust what God was telling him to do was good, was life for him. Many times the Lord comes to us in our life and tries to get us to see what is good. He knows what is good for us, and many times we still do our own thing anyway. So goodness, this fruit, begins when we come back to God, not being led of our flesh, but being led by the Spirit, surrendering everything to Him. I got four brief points that I want to talk about how we can grow greater goodness in our life. The first one is this. We first must believe that there is a God and Jesus His Son, and that He is good. And I know that we probably all believe this. We wouldn't be watching this, listening to this, maybe if we didn't. But my prayer, really honestly, is that we would really believe this. I mean, really honestly, in our heart, that we would be so convinced of the words that we sing and that we read, the goodness of God, that we would truly feel them and mean them as we sing up our praise. That God is good. Not because He did everything that we wanted. He won't. Because He is good. And we're not. And we want often what is not good for us. So He cannot give us everything we want. But He always gives us what is good. What is best. When God does something, you know, that we think He shouldn't do, will we trust that God knows what is good and He's working all things out for our good? God is good even when we dislike Him, reject Him, believe and curse Him almost for things that are going on in our life. He's willing to take that abuse. He's even willing to go to a cross for us to give us that which is best for us, to save us. God is good always, and He only does what is good for us. God is good even when there's great pain or sorrow or grief or trial in our life. Every life's going to have them, but God is good anyway. Everything around you might be hard right now, and you might be tempted by the devil to think that God isn't good or doesn't care, because if He did, why would this be happening? But don't believe the lie. God is good, and He loves you. This world is full of sin and pain and death and hardship because of us. But God is good all the time, and He makes a way to redeem. All of His creation He made is perfect. He is with you right now. He sent His Son to save you from death and a life lost. He's not the author of evil, but the giver of all the good things in our life. A couple beautiful verses that communicate this point are Psalm 136:1. Where it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. How is God good right now for you, maybe? Well, He loves you right now, no matter what. He hasn't left and He won't. He gave you His Son and His Spirit. He hears you when you pray. Every prayer, He is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He made. He is good. His mercy is new every morning in your life. He forgives you in your sins. He is generous with you. He provides, and not just to you, to all. God is good. James 1:16-17 says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He is good. Because He fills our lives with good things and He doesn't change. He is faithful. You can trust Him 100%. He is honest. And so just like any of the fruit of the Spirit that we have learned so far, they come from God, from a relationship with Christ, For God is love. We only know what love is because of Him, and He fills our life with it. We only know joy because He gives us His joy. We only know peace, not one we can find in this world, but from Him that passes understanding, because He is inside of us. And His peace fills us up in the storm. So every one of the fruit of the Spirit is from the Spirit. Same with goodness, you see. God is good. And He fills our life with good things. And we know from Him what is good. Second thing we need to learn in growing in goodness is we need to renew our mind. It's so important. We do this by His word. His word teaches us what is good. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." And I would just ask you this question: is this really what you want today, more than anything, to do God's will, to do what is good? I love the Bible verse that says, "I'm free to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is good." Are we interested in doing good? If so, then first is to believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and invite Him into our life, for alone He can save us. But then second, it is to get into His Word, to begin to let Him speak and to change your mind about life and about the world and what you're living for, your purpose, what right and what is wrong and what good is and what is evil. I've got to be a student of His Word. If I really want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, then I got to know what He says and what He does and learn from Him. I need to test everything that I hear out there in the world with what the truth is, His Word, to seek out what the Bible says is good and right and pleasing to God. We all have to learn how to live our life in the habit of going to God's Word every day and letting it be the authority in our life. Romans 12, 2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know His good and pleasing and perfect will." I love that it says that His will for you is good and pleasing and perfect. You can trust it. My grandmother was a big part of me learning the Bible and how to read it and apply it. And one of her favorite verses was Ephesians 5, 10. And she would repeat it almost every week so that I would remember it. A verse is small. It simply says, "Find out what pleases the Lord." Is what I'm about to do pleasing to God? That's a good question to ask all the time. Do I care? If it's not pleasing to God, if it's not aligned with His Word, then I know it is not good. Not good for me, not good for others, and just not good according to God's plan for my life. I find that simplicity so wonderful. Is what I'm thinking or doing or aspiring to right now pleasing to the Lord, who loves me and has good plans for my life and calls me to be a good and faithful servant? Is what I'm about to do good? Everyone else might say, "Hey, it's fine, just do it." I might get away with it even. It might make me feel good for a moment. But is it good according to the only one who can say what is good? God. Will this bring joy or love or peace or good witness to Him? Is it good? Is it pleasing to God? Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. It is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." The Bible is full of verses like this that can speak directly to our life and situation if our hearts and minds are open to it. And don't wait until you got a question to start reading the Bible. Let it fill your mind now so that when a situation comes up, you're ready to know what is good. The Spirit and the Word truly guiding your life. The third thing, though, I learned this week about goodness is that God is not interested in as much as we know, as much as what we do. Goodness is a do, just like love. That is why Jesus taught us the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. And I don't have time to read it all, but we know the story. What made the Samaritan good? It was his actions of love and care for the stranger who was in need. He stopped. He took time to help him. He put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn and looked after him. He sacrificed whatever he had planned for that day to help somebody else in need. Jesus said, "This is the guy who has truly loved his neighbor." Now, in Jesus' day, the people would have thought that the priest or the Pharisee or the Levite was the most good and holy in their village or whatever. For those were the ones who knew the scriptures. They worried all about the purity laws. They wore the fancy robe and so forth. But in the parable, it was the priest and the Levite who see the stranger but do nothing to help him. They just pass him by. Whereas in Jesus' day, the Samaritans, they were seen as the worst of all people, not worshiping the true God and unclean and evil. Yet in the parable of Jesus, it is the Samaritan who does what is good and justified before God, not the priest. Which shows that goodness is not in what you know, but in what you do. I mean, I can know the right thing to do, but have a million excuses as to why I can't do it. While that person who's out there in the world who doesn't know Jesus and isn't a pastor comes along and helps that one that I passed by and had no time for. Who did the good thing? They did, not me. Jesus is saying goodness is seen in our actions, not our words or clothes or knowledge, but in our love for our neighbor and in our commitment to our God. Jesus taught us to even love our enemies and do good to them who persecute us, to do good to everyone, even those who are making our life miserable. Jesus said the reason is because God is good, and he sends his rain down on the righteous and the unrighteous. So we're called to do good to all people, even if they don't do good to us. Their bad behavior is not an excuse for our bad behavior. You can't get up to heaven someday and say, "Well, he hit me first." Goodness is reserved, for the good people in our life, but should be our response to all people in our life. The goodness of God that he puts in our heart, how he loved and died for us sinners, gave us what we didn't deserve. Well, we should be living the same. It's the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Romans 12:17-21 says, "Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. He will repay. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This is how evil is overcome. There is so much sadness, loneliness, hurt, and evil in this world. Let us be a people who bring good, who live with integrity, even if others don't, who put in a full day's work the best we can, who treat our wife or husband good, our kids good, and get to know and care about our neighbors and help people in need, who show honesty and kindness because it is right. People led by the Spirit and not the flesh. Let us ask the question, is this good? Is it pleasing to God? And then do it. The next thing I see and the last thing here in Scripture that we need to know about goodness is that we are saved for this, to do good works. We were not just saved to go to heaven someday. Praise God we're going there. I'm excited about it and looking forward to it. But this isn't the only reason Jesus went to the cross. He went to restore us to God today, that we might know and walk with God today. And we were saved to be a part of what God is doing in the world right now. His kingdom work that has already begun within his people. He is transforming lives and communities and wants us to be a part of it. We who have found salvation in Christ are now sent out to be his witnesses all over this world, to be a light in the darkness. We who have been reconciled to Christ are now given a ministry of reconciliation. We who have been shown mercy are meant to go be givers of mercy. We who have been forgiven are called now to forgive. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says it perfectly. It says it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us now to do. He has saved us, not just for heaven, but he has put his Spirit in you for a reason. He sends you out in this world to be an ambassador for him, to be a person who does good. We are called to do good works. We are called to bear good fruit. We are called to be a good and faithful servant. Listen to 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. It says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, therefore, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires that war against your soul and to live such good lives among the unbelieving world, that even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they might see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he comes. Live such good lives. Find out what pleases the Lord. You see, this is our purpose. I was saved for this, to be a good and faithful servant to my God, to love him with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love my neighbor as myself, to live out the remaining of my days for what is good and pleasing to him. This is my act of worship. This brings joy to his heart and hopefully helps just even one person get to know the goodness of God and turn their life over to our Savior. This world is full of a lot of hurt people. I tell you, this world will beat you up and hold you down. But may we be different. May people experience something of God in us, the goodness of God in us, something of his radical love in us, truth and grace in us, hope and peace in us, generosity in us, that even when they're hitting their bad day, they might come across some of us good Samaritans trying to live for Jesus. And it might lift them up and help them and give them hope. May we be people of God, touched by the goodness of God, sharing his goodness to a world around us. We were saved for this. Fight the good fight. May your life bear good fruit. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.